Today, February 2nd, is a day that has been set aside in the church's calendar to commemorate this event that we just heard about from Luke chapter 2. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to the temple in Jerusalem to accomplish two things. First, a rite of purification for Mary after childbirth, which would have included a sacrifice. Now, the normal sacrifice was actually a lamb. But if the family was poor, then the law allowed for the family to offer a pair of turtle doves or a pair of pigeons. And that's what Mary and Joseph brought with them, which is why we believe that Mary and Joseph were of humble means. But Mary and Joseph have also come to the temple to present Jesus, their firstborn, to the Lord, because that's what the law commanded. And when they arrived at the temple, they were greeted by this old man named Simeon. Now, Simeon was a man who loved the Lord. And Simeon was a man who was attuned to the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe you all have known someone in your life, or just certain persons who, for whatever reason, have a God-given gift who seem to be particularly attuned to the Spirit of God. I once went into a shoe repair store wearing normal clothes, civvies. I did not have a clerical collar on that day. And the owner and I discussed what it would cost to repair the shoes. He explained how long it would take before the shoes were ready. And as he was handing me my claim ticket, he said to me, "You're a pastor, aren't you?" I thought, do I have a name tag on? Now, we had not discussed anything of a religious nature whatsoever, but there are just certain persons who see things that the rest of us don't see. And Simeon was that kind of a person. So when Mary and Joseph approached the temple and Simeon held out his hands to take their infant into his arms, surely the hair on the back of his neck must have stood up. Surely Simeon must have gasped when he realized who it was that he was holding in his arms. A gasp of delight, maybe a gasp of shock, disbelief. Because Simeon knew by the Spirit of God who this little infant was. This moment in time has been beautifully captured by our brother Charles D'Antonio in his painting entitled The Presentation, which would normally greet you when you come into the church in the narthex, but because of the construction, it's been temporarily relocated over in the parish hall while construction is underway. But it's a large painting that depicts Simeon standing at the entrance, cradling the little baby Jesus with one arm, and then with his other hand held up as if to give praise to God and as if to bless everyone who walks through those doors. Luke tells us that when Simeon recognized who the infant was, he praised the Lord, and then from the overflow of his heart, he broke out in poetry. Simeon's poem has become one of the most treasured pieces of poetry in our little branch of the Christian family tree, the Anglican branch of the Christian family tree. You cannot close out the day in Anglican worship without praying this poem of Simeon. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people, Israel. We Anglicans, we love this poem. We pray it at evening prayer. We pray it at evensong. We pray it at Compline. Simeon's poem is the anchor of our worship when we close out the day. When you are young, this song of Simeon, it's a pleasant way to bid the day farewell. But as you get older, Simeon's song takes on new life because you realize that this is the song of a man who has come to the end of his life and he is filled with joy. Now, Simeon has been filled with this profound peace and joy because he's been able to see with his own two eyes that God's salvation has finally arrived in the form of this helpless little infant. But Simeon can't lay out for us the details of how it is that God is going to work out his salvation through this little baby. But the author of the letter to the Hebrews can help us to understand. The author of the letter to the Hebrews has the advantage of hindsight. Unlike Simeon, the man who wrote Hebrews has seen the cross. And so as we seek after Simeon's peace and joy, we need the perspective of the author of the Hebrews to unfold for us how it is that this little infant Jesus can set us free. Oh, to come to the end of the day. Oh, to come to the end of your life and to be filled with the joy of Simeon. So as we seek after Simeon's peace and joy, let us turn our hearts to the perspective of the author of Hebrews so that he can unfold this mystery to us. Who is this infant in Simeon's arms? He is the one who has the power to liberate us from fear, from shame, and from the stronghold of temptation. First, fear. Turning now to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death Jesus might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Friends, fear has the power to enslave us. We are never at our best when we are held captive by fear. I shudder to think of all the poor decisions I have made in this life when I was operating out of fear. But friends, Jesus came to liberate us from the mother of all fears, the fear of what awaits us on the other side of death. Just last week, my family learned of some terrible news. A young man named Ethan, who is a student of Clemson, a friend of a family member of ours, was killed in a terrible accident. Now, we didn't know him personally. Again, he was a friend of one of our family members. But, you know, as a parent, you read about these sorts of things, and it rends your heart in two. My wife, Ellen, found the obituary, which was this beautiful tribute to this young man named Ethan. And one line jumped out for me. Listen to this. It read, "Ethan gave his family the greatest gift of all. On the dash of his truck laid his Bible with a large owl feather as a bookmark. That said it all. Ethan loved the Lord, and Ethan loved wildlife." Friends, those are the words of a grieving family who, although they are heartbroken over what has happened, they are not held captive by the fear of death. Yes, they will mourn, and deeply so, but they are not afraid of what lies on the other side of the grave. Nor was Simeon. Nor should we be. Jesus has passed through the gate of death, and he has come through victoriously on the other side. "I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Friends, once you have been set free from the fear of death, then all the other fears of this life, they too will begin to lose their grip on you. Yes, there are great challenges in this life, but the day is going to come when all those challenges, they will come to an end. And knowing this, and knowing that God is with us as we face all of these other fears, knowing these things will loosen their grip on us. Jesus came to liberate us from the fear of death. Friends, Jesus also came to liberate us from the crushing weight of shame for our sins. Picking up at verse 17. Therefore, Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. A merciful and faithful high priest to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Ellen and I have been watching a show. It's one of these comedy dramas where every episode, all of the characters make terrible life decisions, and it's extremely stressful for the watcher, the viewer. I don't know why we keep watching it. We're like moths to a flame. We keep going back to it over and over again. But on one of the recent episodes, it involves several of the characters dealing with the issue of forgiveness. They were all making, again, bad life decisions, so they all had reasons to need forgiveness for others and for themselves. And the episode closed with this brief dialogue between two of the main characters, Paul and Jimmy. Jimmy says this, "Paul, you think I'll ever be able to forgive myself?" To which Paul replies, yeah, I do. But Jimmy can clearly sense that his friend is just feeding him a line. So he asks him again, "Really?" And at that point, Paul lets out a deep sigh as if to shift into truth-telling mode. And he says, "I hope so." As Ellen and I were sitting on the couch watching this scene, two things dawned on me. First, this show is completely and totally devoid of even the idea of God. I mean, there aren't even any, shallow spiritual platitudes, nothing. And I know I shouldn't be surprised by that, but in my line of work, it's rare that I'm around people who don't even have like an inkling of God. But then the second thing hit me. If you don't have Jesus, the infant liberator, in your life, then the best thing that you can hope for when it comes to those things in your life that you feel ashamed of, those things that you've not been able to forgive yourself for, if Jesus has not set you free, then the best that you can hope for when faced with a question, "Paul, do you think I'll ever be able to forgive myself?" Without Jesus, the most optimistic and realistic answer to that question is a tepid, "Hope so." But friends, Jesus came to set us free from the crushing weight of our shame. Now, we don't carry these things on our sleeves, but the truth is all of us have done things which, if they were brought out into the light, would make us ashamed, and rightly so, all of us. And let me just say, when I say that, if you feel like, "I don't know if that shoe really fits on me. I'm not sure that I've done things that I'm truly ashamed of." If that's where you are, let me just say, you are in for a rude awakening. When you step into the light of Christ and every corner of your heart is exposed by the light of his holiness, then you will discover that all of us have things in our hearts and in our lives which, if they were dredged up and put on display, the people around us would recoil. Everyone, that is, except God. Again, Hebrews 2:17, "Therefore Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people." That word, propitiation, it's a hard word to say. And the only time you're likely to come across it is when you read it in your Bible. But propitiation means that Jesus came to take upon himself anything and everything that would stand between you and God. Anything and everything that you would be rightly ashamed of. To put it another way, because Jesus gave his life as propitiation for our sins, then the one person you don't have to be ashamed to face is God. This truth is so beautifully captured in the second verse of that modern hymn, Before the Throne of God Above. And I have to tell you, this hymn's been around since the 90s. It's a newer hymn. And I always kind of liked it. But it was not until spending time in these verses that I have to say it has become, it brings tears to my eyes, the truth that it expresses. Let me read it for you. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him, that is Jesus, and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Friends, God will forgive you of anything and everything if only you will turn to him with a contrite heart. And when you begin to see for yourself that God forgives you, then and only then will you have the power and the God-given permission to begin to forgive yourself. And yes, to begin to forgive all those around you. And my friends, that is freedom. The old man Simeon, he was a saint of God. And while there are all sorts of saints of God, all saints of God have two things in common. First, they are painfully aware of those things in their hearts and in their lives that are rebellion against God, sin against God. But saints of God are also joyfully aware of God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Painfully aware of their sins, joyfully aware of the grace, mercy, and forgiveness of God. So Simeon was well aware of his sins. And yet here is a man at the end of his life who is not crushed down by the shame that his sins might bring. No, he's in a place of perfect peace. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Simeon knows the character of the God who awaits him on the other side of death. A God who sent his infant son to liberate us from the crushing weight of the shame of our sins. So, Jesus came to set us free from the debilitating fear of death. He came to set us free from the crushing weight of shame of our sins. And finally, Jesus came to liberate us from the bondage to temptation. Picking up at verse 18. For because Jesus himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. There is a reason that support groups like AA and Grief Share and cancer support groups can be so incredibly powerful. Because when someone has been through the same thing that you are going through and has come through on the other side, then that person can often be far more helpful than someone who has not been through what you are going through. And when Simeon held that baby in his arms, he knew that God's salvation had come in the form of a little child who was going to grow up and experience the pains, the challenges, and yes, the temptations that we all experience. Friends, Jesus understands the temptations that you are facing today. Do not hold Jesus at arm's length as you face your temptations, as you battle against them. Our former bishop, Bishop Lawrence, was once giving a Lenten teaching on, I think it probably was on, maybe on sins, or maybe it was, I don't know if it was seven deadly, I can't remember exactly what the topic was, but this one thing I do remember. I think it was even a throwaway line. But he said, you know, we can sort of categorize sins into two categories. There are the, what he called the hot-blooded sins. These are the ones we tend to remember and pay attention to, lust and greed and anger. And I think we probably focus most on those because those are the ones that tend to cause the meteoric downfall in people's lives. I mean, they can, in an instant, destroy a person's life. He said, but it's important that we do not forget what he called the cool-blooded sins. We don't give these enough attention sometimes. Resentment, bitterness, despair. And by despair, I don't mean sadness. Sadness is part of this life. No, despair is sadness that has given up any hope that God will make a way. All of which is to say, whether it's the hot-blooded sins or the cool-blooded sins that are knocking at the doorway of your heart, God wants you to look up and to see that you are not alone, to see that you're not without hope. Jesus knows what it's like to battle with temptation, all of it, and yet he prevailed. And his spirit within us yearns to give us the courage and the strength to forsake those temptations so that we might become the sons and daughters that we were made to be, the sons and daughters who, on our best days, we want to be. For because Jesus himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus came to stand with us in our temptations so that we might have victory over them. Even though Simeon didn't have the advantage of knowing what we know about this infant liberator whom he cradled in his arms, Simeon knew enough to know that he was looking into the eyes of God's salvation. And this filled him to overflowing with the peace of God and the joy of the Spirit. Friends, may you welcome this infant liberator into your hearts this day, that the peace and the joy of Simeon might be yours. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people, Israel. Amen.